Becca.
And I'm Kaylin.
And you are tuning in to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from the very top of Burnaby Mountain.
We're stoked to be your host for the next hour, exploring local and global events using sociological perspectives. Thanks for tuning in.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sociologic here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. It is such a pleasure to be back in the studio at this hour. I know last week was a pre-recorded episode with Kaylin and I, the last one, right after the last live one. So sorry if you look, got a bit of a jump scare hearing Kaylin's voice again after we did such an emotional goodbye to her. So you just got me for the hour now. Although DJ Coco from Summer Party is currently in
hello
the studio still.
I did not leave the studio.
No.
I'm bothering Sociologic now. So
yeah, Slumber Party and Sociologic seem to be having a bit of a crossover.
Oh yeah,
at the moment.
We will have a crossover in the future though. There's plans.
So. Yes, there is plans and ideas that we won't reveal too much on yet. But today's episode, I just want to put a little trigger warning out there for some listeners that maybe don't want to be listening to this, maybe at this hour or in general, but my topic for today is going to be talking a bit about violence against women, that includes death and murder, and looking into the manosphere and kind of this aggressive, hidden male rage that's happening to lots of young adolescent boys. I'll be touching upon a Netflix TV show called Adolescence that came out last month as well. So please, if this will be distressing to your ears, your soul, please tune out of this radio for the next hour. Tune right back in at 8 p.m. for Big Coover, though, Connor's show. And you can always go and listen to a previous Sociologic episode whilst this one is airing on the website. But tune back in next week from 7 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday. So yeah, but before I start with the topic, I'm still going to continue the little tradition Kaylin and I started of speaking about what's brought us joy this past week or so. And DJ Coco might join in, she might not. We'll
I'm trying
see.
To think
She's
of
trying
things.
To think. It's been a real struggle for her to find joy this week. But yeah, so for me, I'll start off. I've had a pretty good week, to be honest. I mean, it was my birthday last Thursday. I turned 21, so it was very exciting. I got to go down to Bellingham in Washington to see Kaylin and spend my birthday with her. So it was really nice to see her again. Obviously, she's gone back to the States for the summer. And it was a great time. I had a very peaceful 21 hours turning 21, which is quite funny. Did a lot of reading, lots of sort of sightseeing, thrifting, went out drinking, played card games. It was very nice and wholesome. And then I came back to Vancouver and went out for a picnic with my roommate and watched the sunset over Deer Lake in Burnaby, which was very pretty. So I feel like I've had a very zen and peaceful week. It's been very joyous, been catching up with people. And obviously, it was a pleasure to see Kaylin again because I miss her very much. And it was very sad because it's the last time I'm going to see her before I go back to the United Kingdom. So it was a bit of a sad...
The motherland.
The motherland. It was a bit of a sad end to it because we realized, oh, we're not actually going to see each other again. But in the future, you never know what the future holds. We're just not going to see each other in the near future.
Yeah.
In the near future, which is sad, but that is life. So, DJ Coco, have you thought of anything that's brought you joy this
okay.
past week?
I have found maybe one thing.
Oh, okay.
Finally. Finally. Lately, I've been trying to be more mindful and meditate more. I usually get very distracted and my thoughts are always disorganized. So I decided to take 10 minutes or sometimes less, 5 to 10 minutes of my day to just sit down with my thoughts and just breathe in and out. So lately I've been going to my park that I live right next to, and I sit under a bench under this cherry blossom tree, which is now turned into leaves, and I sit there and I meditate. And it was beautiful a couple days ago since there was the wind and the sun, and I was just sitting there with my dog breathing in and out. So that brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah,
that was my little moment. Not
that's
as exciting, but
I mean, you weren't turning 21. So.
No, I was not turning 21.
Yeah, I feel like I had a bit of an extravagant kind of 21 hours.
And zen though, and zen.
It was zen. It was just extravagant to compare to an average week. No, it's not an average week. You end up in the States.
No, no,
and for less than a day.
No.
So yeah, no, that sounds very peaceful and zen and calming. And I feel like with the weather, it's nice to feel calm when the sun's out.
The weather is bringing lots of happiness, for sure.
Except it's kind of changed this week. It's a bit more cloudy
now. This week
now.
Is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Back to Vancouver.
Yeah, back to Vancouver weather. So yeah, we're going to start off with a song and then I'll hop right into today's topic. I have quite a lot of information. It's a topic I'm very interested in. If you know that I go on intravenous now again, but also previously, you know I'm very interested in all things surrounding gender. So this will look into youth male aggression that's happening. I know specifically more about what's happening in the UK than over here, but I do know there is a rise in intimate partner violence and gender-based violence in Canada. So I feel like this topic is very prevalent in a lot of different places. So yeah, to start us off, we are keeping Kaylin's spirit alive on this show. I have a song that she wanted to play that never got played. This is a song by, I believe it's a London band. Yes, a London band called Palace. And it's their song Live Well off of their album So Long Forever.
Amazing song. Just want to say. Good pick, Kaylin.
Yeah.
Very good pick.
Very good pick, Kaylin. And I'll catch you right as it's done.
Sundown, ever so slow.
Welcome back. That was the song Live Well by the London band Palace off of their album So Long Forever, which was a song suggestion from Caitlin, just to keep her spirit alive a little bit on Sociologic here. I'm Rebecca, and I'm going to be your host up until 8 p.m., where Bitcoover will take over until 10 p.m. And in case you have just tuned in, I have put a trigger warning on this episode, as I will be talking about violence against women and young girls, which will include mentioning death and murder. As well as this, there will also be talks on the manosphere and young boys' aggression. So if that is not something you want to be listening to, or that's something that might be distressing to you, please tune out now. You can find another Sociologic episode on the cjsf.ca website under the Sociologic playlist to listen to, and you can tune back in at 8 p.m. So to start the topic off, I just want to define what the manosphere is, because it might be a term that not a lot of people are fully aware of, or you might have heard of it but don't actually know what it means. So the manosphere refers to a wide variety of men's groups online and offline. Many describe themselves as kind of fighting against the progressive or quote woke ideas about gender equality, and a lot of these manosphere influencers will often assert the unfounded idea that men are naturally dominant. So they sort of distort biology and evolution to argue that restrictive gender norms and the stereotypical gender norms are natural. So we're sort of seeing them take everyday biases and magnifying them to very misogynistic extremes, following a trend of male supremacy. So that is what the manosphere is talking about. That's what it is. It's often appealing to men who are feeling alienated. What we're seeing is obviously a changing world where we're moving towards more gender equity, with not just men and women, but across all different aspects of society. But because this makes some men feel alienated, the influences in the manosphere promise men these like support and meaning, but it will deny rights and respect to women, to transgender people, to non-binary people, to gender expansive people, as a result. And these attitudes end up leading to a lot of sexual harassment and abuse, and some of the very extreme and worst manosphere groups are often promoting gender-based violence, and they celebrate mass murder and rape. It's sort of a goal of theirs, which is obviously very shocking and not what you want to be seeing, and not what you want to be influencing a lot of young boys that will be very impressionable if they come across this content online and offline. And I did read that now the Canadian Security Intelligence Service now actually identifies misogyny as a form of ideological extremism. This was because a young man for the first time in Canada in 2020 was charged with terrorism when he had a violent attack that was targeting women. So we are seeing a change happening. I mean, it's taken a long time. I know there's a lot of debates on whether misogyny should be classed as a hate crime. How can police and the authority figures in our societies tackle misogyny and tackle this form of abuse and attacks on women? There has been a change in the UK that happened in 2023, I believe, or maybe it was 2024, where it was officially classed as a national threat by the government, violence against women, and they refreshed a national framework that aligned the police response to be with counterterrorism. So we are seeing a change where it's taken a lot more seriously. You'll see punishments often reflecting that of terrorist nature. And also, alongside this, the manosphere not only is kind of promising men and support a meaning by promoting gender-based violence and sexual harassment and abuse. But they also claim to provide young men and boys with the tools for professional and sexual success as well. So they are often seen with kind of along the lines of these get-rich-quick schemes and the success in life. And if obviously if you're a young boy or a young person and you see these ideas, you don't have the emotional maturity to be able to distinguish whether this is correct information or incorrect information. So it becomes very damaging for both men and then also for the people that they then treat as targets for this conquest and abuse. So that's kind of all in all the manosphere, what it is, how they're kind of targeting people and why people are getting involved in the manosphere. Because I know when you hear what the manosphere is, it kind of seems a bit mind-boggling of how people are getting kind of sucked into it. And it's like ideology. But I think one key thing is they are targeting a lot of younger boys who haven't had the chance to get world experience. They're often young teenagers that are just coming about into their own person. They're still finding themselves. It's a very strange time when you're a teenager trying to find out who you are and things like that. So the manosphere has a lot of complex issues that motivate it. One I was reading about that was saying that the changes in the global economy has reduced the security and availability of what are many traditionally manly jobs. And this with the gains in gender equity and two-spirit LGBTQIA plus rights will challenge and change the traditional ideas. Particularly about gender roles. And a lot of men are finding this unsettling because it's a shift in new societal expectations of where they're being asked to share power and privilege for the first time. So this is being very unsettling. And obviously a lot of people that are within the manosphere are not taking to this change very well and are choosing to go against it. And we see this in the manosphere is particularly rooted in gender, clearly, but this kind of environment you're seeing elsewhere in other shifts in towards equity in other areas as well. And also, there has been obviously talk of that men have a rising rate of mental health problems that include loneliness, depression, and suicide. And with us focusing as well as a society more on helping men with mental health problems and being able to speak about their emotions, there is still a long way to go, and a lot of people are seeking the support in these manosphere forums, which is not going to be the ideal place to be getting help or support, which again is leading to the rise in what we're seeing of young boys getting involved in very violent attacks against young women. And because of all of these complex issues being a result from decades and decades of political, economic, and technological change, I mean, society is ever changing, it's ever evolving, the manosphere actually blames them all on women. They have this fixation on women and feminism being a cause of men's personal and social problems, and that any issue arises, it's because it's a woman's fault, or it's because feminism. That's the root cause of the problem, so we have to get rid of women and feminism. So some people have called this an aggrieved entitlement, which is where people with power and privilege see improvements in equality and inclusiveness as a loss of status, resulting in them seeing it as a personal attack on themselves, which is a very clear theme within the manosphere when you read about it. There's a common claim that there is a, quote, war on men for feminism trying to find gender equity, and it's ignoring most of the social and economic political forces that are affecting everyone's lives, regardless of their gender. And it also ignores that there is still a very clear unequal power and privilege that men still enjoy around the world. So this idea that there's a war on men and that we're reaching a place where we're seeing a lot of, I say, equity, in power and privilege isn't true. There isn't, it's not equitable at all. And so this idea that men have lost all their power and privilege towards women and it's all women's fault and feminism's fault is unfounded, because there's still a lot of power and privilege that men are enjoying above women in the world. So yeah, that's the background between the what the manosphere is, what motivates the manosphere, how the manosphere is kind of working and functioning. I have some facts about some groups in the manosphere. I've got some, because this kind of evolved as obviously society has evolved. And I've got some examples of some people that are notable in the manosphere, because some of them are well-known names. I definitely think that there will be one that you will recognize, as they were very viral between the pandemic and stuff. So yeah, so the groups in the manosphere, they are making money by taking advantage of the insecurity and inexperience of young men. They sell subscriptions, courses, products. So for example, there is a person I'll talk about later called Rushvi. He was selling books and workshops for his ideologies. And Andrew Tate, that's the name that I'm sure a lot of you will have heard of. They created a mentorship site to collect expensive subscription fees. And it kind of operated like a pyramid scheme. So it rewarded members for recruiting new members. So it was a constant influx of money and a constant influx of new impressionable minds he was reaching. So they're not only doing this for the fun and because they believe in it, they're also doing it because they're getting a profit out of it. They're making a lot of money by taking advantage. Now, the first kind of group within the manosphere that I found when I was researching was called pickup artists, and they were sometimes called the seduction community. So this includes influencers, companies, forums, and they teach men how to meet, manipulate, and have sex with women. Many of them are encouraging date rape and sexual assault. And if you're not clear on what date rape is when people go on a date with the intention of raping the other person. Either at the end of the date or during the date, the intention of rape is there before they go on the date. Now, many pickup artists have been convicted for illegally filming women, rape, or threatening women with violence and murder. And one of the most famous pickup artists in the world is the person I mentioned before, Rushvi. Now, he has a self-published series of sexual tourism books that have been called Guides to Rape. He has an internet forum called Return of Kings that is filled with misogyny, racism, and anti-Semitism. And he became really well known back in 2015 because he wrote an article about legalizing sexual assault, like actually legalizing it. So as you can see, there's a lot of different avenues that they have an outreach for, and they're gaining a profit from this. And it's so easy for young people to get sucked in, and young people with impressionable minds thinking that this is right because this person is successful, this person is getting money from this person has a large following and outreach. Clearly, they're doing something right in life and society, so I must be following how they've done it. Now, after pickup artists, it kind of evolved into what is called hustle bros, and this is with the likes of Andrew Tate, Jordan Peterson, Carl Benjamin, to name a few names of really prominent influencers in the manosphere group Hustle Bros. So this is where we really get a focus on influencers combining misogynist relationship advice with get-rich-quick schemes. So it's turning other men into opponents and women into objects, and discouraging men from making meaningful social connections and developing healthy emotional lives. So to talk a bit more on Andrew Tate, he came about during the COVID-19 pandemic. He emerged as the latest face of the hustle bro manosphere. He advocated for violence against women on multiple platforms that he was later kicked off of. I'm talking YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. he was kicked off of them all, but despite that, his videos went viral. They trended globally. They gathered billions of views. And so taking him off of those platforms didn't stop the videos circulating. The damage was kind of already done. And he was selling a very hypo-macho model of masculinity that showcases male supremacy through this emphasis on violence, wealth, and competitiveness. He had very traditional, stereotypical gender roles in what he promoted. And he very clearly expressed hostility towards women in the videos. And he was openly identifying himself as a misogynist. He denied women's agency, humanity. And in 2022, he was arrested for human trafficking, sexual assault, and exploiting women to make pornography by Romanian police. And I believe his brother was also arrested alongside him. They kind of were a little duo. But Andrew Tate was the more well-known of the two. So that is just some two examples of the well-known and famous faces of the manosphere and the effect that they are having. And kind of in a reaction to the pickup artist community and the hustle bro community, another sub-part of the manosphere came about, and it is called the incel culture. And it came about as a kind of reaction, a negative reaction to the pickup artist community, because one of the largest early incel forums that has now been shut down was called PUAHate.com, so pickupartisthate.com. And this is because incel is a contraction of involuntarily celibate. And the pickup artist community believe that learning special techniques will lead to more sexual conquests and, I'd like, quote, better luck with the ladies. And this contrasts to incels who see themselves as sort of doomed to loneliness and misery. So this makes them very hateful towards the pickup artist community. Now, the incel culture is almost exclusively straight men who have been unsuccessful in finding relationships with women, and many discovering incel forums and websites to seek support for their feelings of sadness and alienation, which is what I was talking about earlier, with that the manosphere can be very dangerous for men who are struggling with their mental health and seeking support, and they find these websites and forums and they get sucked into what they think is giving them support, but it's not. It's more damaging to them than it is doing them good, which is what they think. So the incel culture, it's violently and